Someday, your faith will be turned to sight, and we won't have to imagine. Think of that. We'll be standing in the presence of Christ, loving Him, worshiping Him, viewing Him, focusing on Him. What an incredible thing. For the next 6 weeks, we're going to be in the books of 1st and 2nd Peter. Lord willing, with His help, I want to preach a small series of messages on the topic, precious things. Precious things. The word precious is used 6 times in the books of 1st and 2nd Peter. It's from these 6 references we will take our topics for the series. The word precious used in 1 Peter and 2 Peter has several meanings, 3 I think that are important. Number 1, it means to esteem in the highest manner. Number 2, the word can take the flavor of highest value, of something that is valuable beyond price. And then it takes on a heart kind of thinking, dear to the heart or dear beyond heart value. It's a wonderful word. Precious. Precious. That which is dear beyond value. In this series, we'll cover 6 areas. Let me just give them to you very quickly. Number 1, today we're going to talk about trials. Trials are precious. Trials are precious. Secondly, the blood is precious. It's called the precious blood of Christ. Thirdly, our cornerstone is precious. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We're built on the right foundation. Amen? Amen. Number 4, Jesus. We can't forget Him. Peter didn't. Jesus is precious. Number 5, our faith is precious. And number 6, lastly, God's promises are precious. Amen? And so we're going to look this morning at precious things. And my desire, I think, is that each of us will gain a new awareness of how loving and caring God is, to leave us these 6 precious promises. And then I think that I would hope that we would be both grateful and growing because of these things. We should not just simply let them pass by as good topic, but we should let God plant them in our heart. Let God use them in our life as we live for Him. So we're in 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning, verses 1 through 9. Let me read this full passage, 1 through 9. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. By the time Peter wrote this book, Jews that had come to Christ, thousands of them under persecution were scattered across the globe or the known world at that time, all the way over to Asia Minor. And so these Christians were spread apart, and they were under persecution, heartache, difficulty. He says they were elect to the according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So he's speaking to these believers who are under difficulty. He said, blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We don't have a dying hope, we have a living hope. Amen. What is he begotten us unto? He says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now listen very carefully. Wherein ye greatly rejoice of those things, amen, elect, or chosen. We've got an inheritance. We're kept. Don't we rejoice in those things? We are that. We greatly rejoice, but he says, now for a season. For a while, there's a necessity. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. That word temptation is the word trial. God tempts no man, but God does allow trials in our lives. Now he explains it, that the trying of your faith, being, here's our word, being much more precious. How do you view your trial? The trying of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. Whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Is that a good passage or what? That's a dynamite statement, dynamite stuff. Notice again what it says, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Let me just give you three things introductorily to this passage that you must keep in mind when we're talking about trials. Number one, every trial is orchestrated by God. Put that on paper. Every trial in your life as a Christian is orchestrated by God. God is a sovereign God. He makes no mistake. And he brings into our life those things that are necessary for us. And trials are necessary. And so he brings this orchestrated trial to your life for a purpose. Number two, not only are they orchestrated by God, but I said earlier, they are necessary. Verses 1 chapter 1 and verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. Isn't that an interesting statement? If now for a season, there's something you're going to need. We may not like it. It's not the thing I'm going to ask God for. But it's necessary. If need be, it's necessary. So they're orchestrated by God. They're necessary. Then he says, for a season. They're temporary, all God's people said. Thank God for that. Amen. They're temporary. Someone said, how long is temporary? Well, for some, it seems long. But compared to eternity, they're a drop in the bucket. They're temporary. Then chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, though it be tried with fire, they're difficult. I don't know why we think that trials should be easy. They're not. They're difficult. Those four things, if you remember nothing else from this sermon, remember those four things. They're orchestrated by God. They're necessary. They're temporary. They're difficult. All trials are that way. But how can they be called precious? God make a mistake? Was Peter not quite awake when he wrote this? What was he thinking about? Peter eventually died being crucified upside down. His was a terrible ending in life. Before he died, he wrote these verses and he said, trials are precious. Maybe he needed, he was getting older like your pastor and he's losing it. Something's not right. But he said they're precious. Well, how are they precious? Let me give you just three ways. Number one, they are precious. They are precious to God. They are precious to God. Notice our text says that the trial of your faith being, listen to this statement, much more precious. God, write this down, God is the God of the much more. God is the God of the much more. And when it says that trials are much more precious, it places a value higher than we can see, deeper than we can feel, broader than we can think, much more precious. Not to us when we're going in the experience, but to God who knows the result of the experience. And God is the God of the much more precious trial. Nothing surprises him. He puts our precious trials to the test. And he puts overwhelming value on that trial. He knows us inside and out, all God's people said. He knows all about us, and he sees where we are and what we are experiencing at the very moment of life. And when we are in trials, God's concern is much more in our direction. How do I know that? How do we know that? How do I know that? Let me give you three reasons. Because it's consistent with God's character. It's consistent with God's character. Whom the Lord loveth, all God's people said. God's character is a character of compassion. It's character of concern. It's character of care. It's character of provision. God's character demands that God be a God who offers trial that are precious to him because he's moving in the life of one of his own children. Psalm 3:1-5 say, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? David's writing. Many are they that rise up against me. Can you imagine? Many they be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. You ever thought that? But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. There's a great song sung by a marvelous choir, the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. How many have heard them sing? Good night. You'd have to be dead or near death not to be able to preach after hearing them sing one song. And they sing this chapter. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head, all God's people said. And so David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. Trials are precious to God because they're consistent with his character. Number two, trials are precious to God because they are connected to his care, all God's people said. Now that almost sounds impossible. How is he caring for me when I'm going through this? He is. Eddie went down to work. Didn't feel well and ended up in a hospital. He had triple stents put in. Was that an experience he enjoyed? Was God caring for him unequivocally? Dr. Frank Garlock wrote many pieces of music. His son was away from God, living a life of debauchery. Dr. Garlock couldn't sleep at night. He would see the face of his son. He was broken about it. His heart was rending. He cried out to God. One day late at night, he wrote down these few little words. He cares for you. He cares for you. He ever loves and cares for you. He'll do what no one else can do, for Jesus cares for you. In the midst of the most difficult time in your life, God is not absent. God is there, and God is caring for you. Then thirdly, trials are precious to God because they are charged. I like this thought. They are charged with His compassion. They're charged with His compassion. Three of the four Gospels. A leprous man came to Christ. He cried out to Him, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus turned to look at the man, He said to him just a few simple words, "If thou canst make me clean, please, if thou canst make me clean." And Jesus, the Bible says, moved with compassion. And He illustrated that movement by going over and putting His arms around that leprous man, which was tantamount to saying, "I'm going to die too." And He hugged him to His breast and said, "I will you to be clean." And the man was clean immediately. Amen. These trials we go through, maybe difficulty, maybe heartache, maybe sorrow, but they're loaded, filled with, to the brim, with compassion. Trials are precious because they're precious to God. Number two, trials are precious because they're precious to us. Uh-oh. We don't want to get in that, do we? Let's just skip this point, go to point number three. Trials are precious to us. Notice our text again says, watch what it says, that the trial of your faith. It's pretty pointed, isn't it? He didn't say the trial of their faith or the trial of someone else's faith. He pointed it peculiarly at each individual, the trial of your faith. I believe, and I don't think I'm wrong on this, I believe that all trials are trials of our faith. Trials put your faith to the test. Can I really trust God? Is the faith that I say I'm living, is it alive or dead? In our text, we have a living hope, a living faith. Will this faith see me through my difficulty? Our trial will be many, 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 varied. They may come as sickness or disease, the loss of health or of a loved one you care deeply about. They may show up financial circumstances beyond what you think you can control. Regardless of what they are, all the tests in your life are trials of faith. The trying of your faith being much more precious. Let me just give you a few reasons why that's true. Because they cause us to fall upon God, all God's people said. Amen. Where are you going to fall? I remember when I had a concussion. And when you get a concussion and you're in recovery, you're dizzier than craziness. I mean, you can't walk a straight line. And so I was walking into the park one day, and I was on the cement. The grass was right over here. And I got dizzy and started to fall. My first thought was, I don't want to fall on the cement. That would be a major owie. So I kind of moved myself, kind of pushed myself to the left and fell on the ground, the lawn. It still hurt. Man, it was a lot safer. It was a lot better for me. If I would have fell that same way on that cement, my wife may come out and said, I better get the keys and take him to the mortuary. But I fell on the ground. The way you fall is important. Where you fall is important. On whom you fall is important. We need to fall on God. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Our trials are precious, as number two, because they bolster our faith. All God's people said. One of God's desires and designs in our trials is to increase our faith. If we can go through the trial with God, the outcome will be a larger faith and a stronger believer. All God's people said. Number three, because they mature us in our faith. Turn to James just for a second, chapter 1. Verses 1 through 4. Well, let's just look at verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. Think of this. When you fall into diverse trials, different kinds of trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That last phrase is talking about a mature believer. That you may be perfect. Not perfect in the sense you'll never do anything wrong, but perfect in the sense that you're maturing rightly. That you may be perfect, entire or mature, wanting nothing. Trials are precious to us because they mature us. And then lastly, trials are precious to us because they can encourage other brothers and sisters in Christ. Have you ever thought about the repercussion of your difficulty in the life of someone else? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, listen to this. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort. What does He do? He comforts us in all our trials. Why? that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God comforts you so that you can comfort others. They see you go through your difficulty. How did she do that? How did he do that? You can tell them, God sustained me. And then as they watch your life, they say, what a testimony to the grace of God. And then you can tell them, here's how that works. God can bolster you, lift you, guard you, protect you, develop you. You become a blessing to someone else. Our trials are precious. To God, our trials are precious to us. And then one last thing. Trials are precious because of the result. All God's people said. Trials are precious because of the result. First Peter 1, verse 8, the trying of your faith, verse 7. Being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found under praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. They will bring honor, glory, and praise to God in our life, through our life, until we get to heaven and live with Him forever. And everyone that steps through that golden gate, God will see us and say, praise, honor, glory. See that one? He went through this. He had to face that. And God will be glorified and honored, and praise will be brought to Him because of those lives that were affected by His great care. Two verses that we sometimes forget. Psalms. Psalm chapter 56. This is an incredible verse. Psalm 56. And verse 8. Listen to this psalm. Listen to this verse. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? How many heard that? God, you know all about my trials. You've explained them. You've told them. You've shown them. And those trials I've gone through have broken me sometimes. They have caused in my life heart-rending. Tears have poured from my eyes, God, as I faced these things. They've been difficult. They have been hard. But there was not a tear drop that fell that you did not collect. And you put them in a bottle. And you wrote every tear and the reason for them in a book. And the last days, when I see you, you will take that bottle out. and hold it up for me and say, I never missed one. That's incredible. Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake oft one to another. We do that, don't we? And the Lord hearkened and heard it. Have you ever gone to someone who is a good friend, a dear Christian, and said, sister, brother, I'm going through this. Would you just pray with me? Could you just do that? Could we pray together? It was a quiet time, a serene time, a special time, guarded. Do you know who was hearing that all the time? This verse says God was. He heard every one of those things. He heard it, and a book of remembrance was written. Do you hear that? Before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. God wrote it down. I'm not making this up. I just didn't find these verses and say them. You study those two particular verses in the context and in the theological content, you'll find out that God is talking about something that's going to transpire after we go back to meet him in heaven without sin, unto salvation. He's going to mark your tears. He's going to write down your conversation. He's going to keep a record that says, they understood finally who I was, what I was doing, where I was at, and I will not forget one of those difficulties. I won't let them pass me by. They're not forgotten by God. They will bring praise and glory and honor to God. They're not forgotten by God. Then I would think the last thing, they prepare us better for heaven, all God's people said. We suffer some times here. But no one suffered like Jesus. No one. Can you imagine when we in our state, whether it's a defibrillator or heart bypass or catheterization or cancer treatment or whatever it was, and we get to heaven, having gone through those things, we walk down the street, we come to the throne room, and Jesus stands up to honor us. We look at him and say, I see his hands. I see his feet. How dare I think that I had a difficulty? And our preparation for heaven will be measured and complete in recognizing that nothing I went through approaches remotely what Christ did for me. All God's people said. The trying of your faith being much more precious. God help us value these trials in the way that you want us to. In Jesus' name, amen.